You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 6 April. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, I want to talk around the SA Inc. results, but also are we getting a bit of a risk on trade starting to come through, which will play into tech, but I think also will play into emerging markets. Jonathan Cherry, why we ignore long-term warning signs. We see them coming, we don't do anything about them. And then Zolder Birchall, carbon tax, it's arrived and it's real, and what are we doing, or what are corporates doing about it? I think that's critically important, and how they are going to be managing that process. A poll from, wasn't yesterday, it was Thursday when we were last here. Top 40 had a great start to the year, up 12% in the first quarter. We asked you what we thought the first, what the full year returns would be. 22% of you said, yeah, around 12%. In other words, we've got the year done. Now we're going to go sideways. Some 32% said about 12. And then about 46% of you said it's going to be better. The results are actually going to be way better. And it's going to be a really, really good year for the market. I fall into that group. I think we can do more than 12% for the year. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb, construction industry to bounce back in 2021. This after being the worst performing sector in 2020. Certainly we're starting to see it. Of course, we don't have much construction. There's Wilson Bailey, there's Steph Stocks, there's Avenge, Marion Roberts, although they're no longer really construction. It's kind of more the PPCs, Sopaku, Afrimat. Those are the guys who really are going to be winning in that space there. And then from the FT, Financial Times, Janet Yellen calls for global minimum corporate tax. This is really an interesting idea. She says she wants all countries to join the US in setting a global minimum tax for companies. In other words, Stop that sort of trying to entice corporates from one to the other. Nice idea. I don't think it's going to fly. Countries use it as a sort of competitive advantage. Morning markets, US was green overnight. S&P up 1.4. NASDAQ up 1.7%. Asia mixed. Sydney up 0.9. Tokyo off 1.1. Commodities green over the long weekend. Gold 17.34. Rand stronger, 14.59. Top 40 looking for a green open about a third of a percent higher, or 240 points.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Zolder Birchall. She's a manager at Cova Advisory and Associates. Zolder, morning. Appreciate your time. Carbon tax talked around for a bunch, but it's now real. It's now actually happening. It's in South Africa. Can you give us a quick sort of overview on that legal framework surrounding particularly carbon credits, which are part of that whole process?
Good morning to your listeners. The carbon tax was implemented on the 1st of June in 2019, and it basically implemented through the Carbon Tax Act, and it has various regulations under it, which basically regulates these allowances or discounts that you can get, such as, you know, the carbon credit allowance.
And for, I mean, for South African organizations, I mean, this is, you know, people typically look at a tax, any tax, and think, oh, this is terrible, this is bad for us. And sure, yes, maybe. But in this case, I mean, particularly with the ability to trade, there's actually potentially opportunity here for organizations to partake, and to actually create some shared value here, perhaps.
Yes, so certainly, you know, there's two ways that companies can actually do that. They can either do their own green projects and potentially, you know, create a revenue stream from that, or, you know, use the credits to offset their liabilities, or another way is that they can purchase carbon credits. And these are, you know, basically investing in projects that do good for the environment. So, and they generally not only do they reduce emissions, but they also have social benefits as well, community upliftment benefits, and things like that, yes.
And if I'm a company, and maybe my carbon footprint is fairly modest, I mean, could I actually go and create some green initiatives, some green projects, and actually almost generate an income stream because I could then sell those to carbon polluters?
Yes, absolutely. So if you're a company that's not directly subject to the carbon tax, you could do projects, anything like a conservation or mm-hmm. reforestation or even like composting or, you know, those kinds of projects all have the ability to be registered as a carbon credit project. And then also, that you can over a long period of time create carbon credits. Mm-hmm. And sell those to companies that need them to offset their liability.
Okay, so this is not, we talk around it as a carbon tax, but actually potentially it's a lot more than just a carbon tax. Certainly there's opportunity here, whether you are a carbon producer or not. Zelda Birchall, manager at Covert Advisory and Associates, appreciate your early morning time.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Jenny and I with Derek Janser van Rensburg from Anchor Capital. Derek, morning. Appreciate your time after the long weekend. 2 points I want to really touch on this morning. The first, we're seeing the results largely come through for the December year end companies on the JSE. The South African Inc. sort of results, our retailers and the like. How are they? I mean, my sense is not a bad set of results considering. I mean, we had a pandemic last year. I think they're mostly came out perhaps better than expected?
Morning, Simon. Yeah, I think that's really what it's all about. I think obviously, as we've chatted before, I mean, there's obviously a low base effect that's mm-hmm. baked into a lot of these prices at the moment. But just sort of coming out of the back end of obviously the last year and coming into where we are now at this stage of the game, I think a lot of companies have thinned our costs and obviously taken a lot of emphasis on the stuff that they can control. And you're sitting in a position where these companies are doing okay at this point in time. So obviously we're seeing some upside and a lot of stuff that we've seen of late, you know, the ShopRite and things like that have obviously bounced. But, net, I think it's commendable results that we've seen at the moment coming out of a lot of the JSE listed companies. At this stage of the game.
And I like your point there around thinned out costs. I mean, almost in a sense, and it's a bit perverse, it took a pandemic, but the companies who really sort of attacked their cost basis during 2020 are going to be better companies in the years ahead because of that improved cost base. Some of them have got rid of sort of non-core assets or non-performing assets, and ultimately they really are going to be better looking.
No, absolutely. And I think that's the position we're in at the moment. There's somewhat of a leverage effect that sort of starts to play out from this point on where, you know, there's obviously been a very tough economic environment that we've been through. We all know that there's a lot of the stuff that you can control. You've obviously cut the costs. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, you get some kind of pent-up demand, some kind of consumer demand, economic growth, even if it's slight. You start to see the effects of how you've actually really streamlined these businesses and what that earnings impact is. So, you know, a small movement in the needle makes a huge difference to the bottom line, essentially, at the end of the day. So, for the first time in a long time, I've been quite positive about a lot of the SA-listed businesses. So, and you've seen that in the share prices, where they've started to deliver a degree of return, and I think that they're well positioned for a very tough economic environment to get the backdrop for a bit of economic growth and a bit of, as I said, pent-up demand, and you start to see the needle move quite significantly.
Yeah, we have seen some moves. Again, the base effect, but we've certainly seen those moves. I mean, the one space which maybe still having a bit of a tough time, although some of the prices have been moving, is the leisure space. We've seen City Lodge really starting to move. Again, this is in part base effect. Is leisure perhaps the one sector where we're maybe jumping a little early, or is it a case of, let's start to position ourselves? It might be sort of, late this year or even early next before we start seeing the earnings come through.
I think leisure is a bit different. I think we need to accept the fact that the world has changed. And, the way that we move and how we live and how we sort of stay in accommodation is obviously a very different place at the moment. And if a meeting can be done by digital platforms, then people will choose to do that. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a lagged effect within the tourism leisure space, whether it's for business or pleasure. I think that there is going to be a little bit of a lagged effect just with this cautious approach as we move to the latter part of this year and as we start to see vaccine rollouts come into effect. So I'm not that excited about leisure, hotel stocks, even property stocks at this point in time. I think there's a lot of morphing that needs to happen within the property sector and how you actually start to see those companies adapt and change. But I think that they've got the ability to do it. And I think, as I said, a lot of pent-up demand. I think our only sort of handbrake at this stage is actually getting the vaccine rollout to become effective and actually start kicking in. So keeping an eye on it, but holding off at this point in time.
Yeah, and property was going to be my next one, but you preempted me on that. Still a tough space there. I quickly want to jump sort of more global. We're seeing the VIX in the US sub 20 for the first time in a year, which is the fear gauge in a sense. We saw really good moves from the S&P and NASDAQ over the last couple of days. Are we perhaps moving back into a bit of risk on, which is not just necessarily emerging market, but could also just be those tech stocks, which everyone had kind of started to take a bit of a jaundiced view of?
Yeah, look, we're obviously seeing a bit of risk on at the moment. We're seeing things starting to rally and obviously push to new highs. To be honest with you, I'm actually being a little cautious at this point in time. I think that there is a lot of risk in the market at this stage where, things seem a bit frothy from a valuation perspective. And I think that those US treasuries are something we can really keep an eye on. I think the moment that the language out of the Fed starts to change, and I think it's going to be sooner than what everybody expected. Obviously, this low interest rate environment has been very positive for equities as an asset class. But as soon as you see that language start to change out of the Fed, I think that there will be some of a re-rating. And we've seen it already in some of the tech spaces where you've seen movement out of tech and into value, and some of the tech stocks sort of correcting 20% in some cases more than that. But they're starting to bounce back. I think it is risk on, but you've got to be very careful at this point and keep a very close eye on the language coming out of those Fed meetings from here on out.
Yeah, and I take your point there, risk on, but let's be clear that this is risk on in a high-risk environment. It was different a year ago when valuations were being crushed. At this point, the valuations are, we were chatting, to early this year, late last year, in terms of, priced for perfection.
Absolutely. I think that's really what it is. It's been a one-way street for equities, and we all understand that. Obviously, we've got the backdrop of COVID and coming out of COVID, but interest rates are low. People are looking for a home for that lazy money, and it's a natural place to flow into equities. But the world is bouncing back a lot quicker than what people expected from a developed world perspective, in the U.S. in particular. And the moment that starts to change from a Fed language perspective, you are going to see the handbrake being pulled up, and you might see a little bit of a revaluation in the equity market. And it won't be somewhat of a calamity, but there will certainly be some normalization that I think takes place. So, at this stage, I think I'm keeping an eye on all those offshore stocks, but really just taking a shotgun approach, looking at valuations, looking at stocks that I want to own over the next 3 to 5 years, and be comfortable with a 20% cool down from here on out.
Yeah, I get you. And the trick is that as soon as the interest rates start to rise, some of that cash goes from equities into interest rates, and that's where the sell-off then starts to happen to a degree. We'll leave that there. Derek Jansen from Rensburg Anchor Capital. So appreciate your early morning time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 32, a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, an authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. A poll I want to ask today, we were chatting there with Derek Jansen from Rensburg. Are we in a risk-on environment? Yeah, you know, the VIX is low. What we're seeing is NASDAQ running, and even the EMs running to a degree, S&P, NASDAQ heading back to that high. So our question on our Twitter account, at MoneyWeb, are we back in a risk-on environment? Yes, but careful. Yes, it's a go-go. Or nope, this is just going to be a bull trap in a sense, and we need to be a whole lot more careful. You'll find that on our MoneyWeb Twitter account, at MoneyWeb. You can go and give us your view there. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available from 7 a.m. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Nicole, Masekla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.